May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 739. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Hymn 739.
Read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, and we shall read down to verse 40. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8. Reading the first 40 verses. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together, and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him, saying, What might this parable be? And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh a devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be made known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, My mother And my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed, and in his right mind. They were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man, out of whom the devils were departed, besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most high, holy, almighty, eternal, yet merciful, gracious, good, faithful, and kind God, O help us to come before thee now, as we are found gathered together here in thine earthly courts. We would also remember those who may listen in from their homes. And may the gathering of the people be unto thee, as we turn aside on this Lord's Day evening, at the time of the evening sacrifice, to come to present ourselves before thee, to gather together in thy name, O seeking thy gracious presence. And Lord, we beseech thee, may Jesus himself draw near and come with us tonight. And may we truly know and feel and prove and experience thy presence. O come by thy Spirit, and come by thy word, and enter into our midst. Oh, as it was in that room, and Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Lord, enter into our hearts. O cast out sin, enter in, be born in us this day. And come and make the place of thy feet glorious. Lord, we come professedly to worship thee. May we know what true worship is. To be a true worshipper. O Lord, do help us in each part of the service, singing thy worthy praises with a heart and understanding, singing unto the Lord. And Lord, do bless to our souls the reading of thy holy word, and grant us that right understanding of it. And as we engage in prayer, O, though one must pray audibly, may there be that, silent petition of many hearts here, Lord, that we might be one in prayer. And Lord, as we turn to thy word, may the gospel be preached in its beauty and in its simplicity. Lord, help one to preach Christ and him crucified, to exalt a precious Jesus high upon the gospel pole. And we pray throughout that thy Holy Spirit may be at work, working in the hearts of many, touching the hearts of many. Lord, do prepare each heart to receive thy word. The preparation of the heart and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. May something be done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We may long for it personally, spiritually, providentially. We may long for it in others, loved ones near and dear. But may something be done this night. Very solemn if nothing is done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. If we all just go through the form of service, untouched, unmoved, unaffected. But may it not be so. Save us from mere emotions. But, O Lord, may our hearts be truly touched. May we be wrought upon. Oh, may there be that blessing. May there be that word in season. Oh, Lord, may there be that word applied. May it be good for us to be here. Oh, for thy eternal purpose concerning our souls and in our lives. Oh, how often we plead, compassion on us have we pray, and empty send us not away. Oh, there may be dear souls here tonight, it's the language of their heart. Oh, they have come prayerfully, they've come in need. Lord, they've come in trouble, they've come in distress, they've come in despair. Oh, they've come with many, many anxious fears, and Lord, that great fear, will the Lord be silent? Or will there be no word? Or will it be like the Syrophoenician, and he answered her, not a word? Oh, Lord, and dear souls crying out with the psalmist, be not silent unto me, lest if thou be silent unto me, I be like unto them that go down into the pit. O Lord, be pleased to speak unto such, those who long to hear thy voice, to know thy voice, to receive thy word, or that there might be something. Lord, we think of Ruth and how her hap happened. And may it be that our hap has happened to be here tonight, as ordered by God. And we gather, as it were, in a gospel field. And we come to glean. Oh, Lord, to glean of thy word. Oh, we think of the Boaz, a man, but the antitype, the Lord Jesus, the heavenly Boaz. And, oh, may Jesus come into the field this night and speak kindly. Oh, let there fall some handfuls of purpose this night. Oh, bless the provisions of thy house and fill thy poor with bread. And may no needy soul go away disappointed, destitute, empty, barren, feeling that there was nothing. Lord, we bring to thee our basket. Like those disciples of old at the feeding of the 5,000, an empty basket. And we bring it to thee to fill, to replenish. Or might there be that distribution. As the disciples went forth with their baskets now filled, to distribute amongst the people, and not one went without. Not one lacked. There was a sufficiency, a supply of every need. And Lord, throughout this congregation, the needs, the spiritual needs, the providential needs, the urgent needs. Thou knowest the needs of each and every one. Those who have come very needy. Oh, in great need. Lord, would it please thee to supply every need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. There may feel to be one, there may be one here feels to be like Ruth, though I be not like unto thy people. A Moabitish damsel, so different, not like the people of God. But even Ruth was blessed, gathered in, provided for. Oh, then, Lord, do remember such. Oh, spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman who has a right to redeem. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. What a precious promise. Oh, there might be a soul here in great need, Lord. I will do unto thee all that thou requirest. Oh, for thou alone art able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can either ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So, Lord, bless each one present. Bless those who are listening and any who may listen in time to come. O Lord, bless thy word. Prosper thy word. We pray that thy word may run and have free course and be glorified. Grant a portion to 7 and also to 8. We pray for those unable to be here, any laid aside, any who are poorly. O Lord, who remember such and grant healing, restoring mercies. And bless this cause of truth, work mightily in the midst. Help thy servants who minister from time to time, and may they come as sent of God. And oh, may it be oft noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. O Lord, and do work mightily in the hearts of many, and grant a godly increase to redound to thy honour, to thy glory. Remember all the gatherings of thy people. O Lord, remember Zion. All who love and fear thy name, not only in this nation of ours, but throughout the whole earth. O Lord, remember such. We pray for those who have no minister. And Lord, we think of our sister churches in Australia and in America. Oh, remember them in their great need. And be pleased to raise up and restore dear Mr. Tenbrook again. O Lord, do appear for them there. And O Lord, we pray for all thy people and those who suffer such opposition, hatred, persecution, enmity, who are threatened and frightened and denied and deprived and isolated and cut off and suffer much. Lord, remember them. And how thankful we should be for the privileges yet bestowed upon us, our freedom of worship, at religious liberties, that we might gather together. O Lord, we would be truly thankful. And O Lord, do remember those who suffer through famine in lands where there's warfare and the threat of warfare. We pray for peace in our times. O Lord, do restrain those in great power and authority, for thou art almighty. And the hearts of all men are in thy hand. And Lord, again we beg mercy upon this guilty land and nation of ours. In wrath, remember mercy. O spare us yet. Raise up a high office those who love and fear thy name. Lord, rule over those who rule over us. And overturn the counsels of the ungodly. And those, Lord, who oppose thy word and thy people, and thy ways and thy truths. Lord, may our eyes be upon thee. We would not multiply words, yet we find there's so much to pray for. So do make up in giving, where we have failed in our asking, and hear us from heaven, thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. And send answers of peace. Help us through this service. And Lord, afterward, take us each back to our homes in peace and safety. With a blessing, we ask for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn number 1085. Hence, vain intruding world, depart. No more allure nor vex my heart. Let every vanity be gone. I would be peaceful and alone. Hymn 1085.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8 and verse 10. Luke, chapter 8, the 10th verse. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8 and verse 10. And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." This morning we considered a little concerning God separating grace. "For wherein shall it be known that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So I and thy people shall be separated from all the people that are upon the earth." And that is so true today. God's separating grace will separate a child of God, the people of God, from all the people of the earth. God's separating grace, wherein the soul, by grace, strives to enter in at the strait gate, that he might be found in that narrow way which leadeth unto life, and few there be therein. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, which leadeth unto death, eternal death, and many are found therein. Oh, in the world it always seems that where there's crowds, where there's a majority, they must be right. But the Bible speaks so differently. A remnant shall be saved. A poor and afflicted people, those who are so often the few, the minority, the little remnant, but the people of God, all the chosen of the Lord, those who find grace in his sight, now they're separated from the world. "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate," choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, may the Lord grant to us that we also find grace in his sight. May it be our prayer, our desire, our burden, all to find grace in his sight, that God might be gracious, that God might be merciful, that God might be favourable. "Remember me with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation." Here in our text we have God's separating grace. "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others." Unto you and unto others. Unto my people and to others. Unto those called by my grace and to others. To those made willing in the day of my power and to others. All to such who are born again and to others. To those who live that life of faith and to others. To those who know something of the Lord's dealings with them and to others.
Oh, where are we tonight?
How is it with you? How is it with me? Oh, do we desire to be in the former part unto you? Unto you? What we see here is his disciples. His disciples. And really in Scripture, a disciple is a learner. A disciple who desires to learn from his master. And as we hope to speak later concerning the Gadarene, we find him, well, really in a place where the Lord will bring all his people, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do we know anything of this? Would we be found there tonight, not sitting in a chapel pew, but sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn of him, to receive of his word? Oh, have we come tonight full of the cares of this world? Our poor minds so caught up in what's going to happen tomorrow, what we were doing yesterday, or in a week to come. Or have we come to hear what God the Lord might speak? Have we come to hear the Lord Jesus speaking unto his sheep tonight in humble hope that we have found amongst his sheep? Unto you, his disciples. His disciples who would learn of him. His disciples given grace that they might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I've often pondered how those two clauses are joined together. That growth in grace and that knowledge, increasing knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who have grace, they desire to know the Lord Jesus. And having that humble hope of knowing something, they desire to know more and more and more. Or a continual prayer, an increasing prayer, that I may know him. Oh, is it your prayer that I may know him, whom to know is life eternal? His disciples. Those called by him. And we have not just the 12 male disciples, it rather struck me, and the 12 were with him in verse 1, and straight into verse 2, and certain women. And certain women. Or the men, the women, these disciples. And these disciples, I know we have Judas Iscariot, but we must just leave Judas Iscariot. But these disciples, as they learned the Lord Jesus, as they followed him, as they were taught by him, how they loved him. How they loved him. We love him because he first loved us. They were drawn to him, and I believe every child of God is drawn to the Lord Jesus. That beautiful word in Jeremiah, yea, it is certain, it is sure, yea, I have loved thee. With an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And a child of God is drawn by the Lord's loving kindness and by his irresistible grace. That grace of God which cannot be resisted. All Satan tries to hinder, to prevent, the world also and self. But God is almighty, his grace is invincible. His grace is irresistible. And a child of God, oh, whether they be brought up under the sound of the truth or be as far from God as one can be, yet still that grace will draw them to the Lord Jesus. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Unto you it is given to know. All given to know. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Dear friend, this is vital. This is imperative. That we are taught of the Lord. You see, the Lord will teach the truth. And nothing but the truth. The word of God we have before us is the truth. It is absolute truth. And God speaks the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth,
and the life. How vital that we are taught of the Lord, that we are taught the truth in two ways, generally speaking. The truth concerning ourselves, and then the truth as it is in Jesus. You see, really, these are the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's that work of grace wherein the Lord will teach his people and he will teach them the truth. Just turn to Ephesians 6. I believe there is that word there as the apostle speaks of the weapons of the warfare, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries of the gospel. And thinking there, my mind just goes now to the Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul also sets forth the ministry and preaching Christ and him crucified, this mystery. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, the mystery of the gospel. And again, I just feel burdened to mention from chapter 2 here in 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of a spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Oh, the mystery of the gospel, the power of God unto them that believe. Now unto you it is given to know the plague of your own heart, that true conviction of sin. You see, it is the Holy Spirit, he quickeneth. It is the Holy Spirit, he shall take of mine and show it unto you. I know it wasn't at his conversion, I think, of David and the parable of the ewe lamb, and that word, thou art the man. Thou art the man. I was mentioning earlier to dear friends, and many of you perhaps have heard of John Raven. He was pastor of Smallfield and Redhill in Surrey, an eminent minister in his day. He was brought up Zion Leicester, under Grey Hazelrigg. He said he never rebelled against going to chapel, loved his pastor, went to, if not Sunday school, the Bible class. He knew his Bible extremely well, inasmuch as he would argue with those who took a different light upon the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. And often he had read in Pilgrim's Progress and the account of Mr. Talkative, that man who could talk religion, but knew nothing of real religion in his heart. And in his mind, young John Raven, he condemned Mr. Talkative for being such a hypocrite. He'd read the account many times, and I think about the age 18, 19, He read it again, got to the part of Mr. Talkative, and in his mind he condemned him and his religion. And then the Holy Spirit shot that arrow of conviction deep into young John Raven's heart with those words, "Thou art the man. Thou art the Mr. Talkative. Thou art the one who can talk religion but knows nothing of it in his heart." And that was the beginning of a work of grace in that dear soul's heart. "Unto you it is given to know what a sinner really is. All are sinners in God's sight. The whole mass of people in the world, all are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned. All are sinners in God's sight. But how very, very few in their own." Oh, are we a Mr. Talkative tonight? Do we have religion in our head but not in our hearts? Or is it being given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God? What the Holy Spirit reveals, the plague of our own hearts, it may not be a deep conviction of sin. I remember hearing of one who had what we might say a very deep conviction when he felt so awful. He was upon the brink of taking his own life. He felt he'd been shaken over hell and what he really deserved. Another one said to him, "I wish I had a conversion like yours." Because the second man felt his conversion, he questioned it, he wondered if the Lord had ever began. He'd never experienced anything deep, anything solemn, perhaps like the former man. But God is sovereign. And where I believe there is true conviction of sin, it will bring to true confession of sin. And that confession of sin will be from a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You will find a guilty sinner before an holy God, and that guilty sinner upon his knees, or that guilty sinner full of his own guilt and shame, or that guilty sinner in great distress, all crying out for God's mercy, pleading, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Again, God is sovereign. It may be over a period of time wherein that conviction of sin is deepened and deepened more and more, but by and by every man shall know the plague of his own heart and that he is a sinner in need of salvation. He is a sinner in need of God's mercy. He is a sinner in need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all to know him as our Saviour. Unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You see, that Pharisee in the temple, it wasn't given to him. He was religious. He had a name to live. He had a profession. Indeed, he thought he was doing God's service. Indeed, he thought he was pleasing God. Indeed, he thought he was going to heaven. The dear man, poor man rather, he was deceived. He deceived himself, he deceived others. And there he stood as he fought before God. And God was smiling upon him, utterly deceived. He knew nothing of the plague of his own heart. He knew nothing of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He knew nothing of that work of grace. Indeed, he knew nothing of himself. A lost, ruined, guilty, perishing, vile, hell-deserving sinner. But then that publican, poor, despised, rejected of men, looked down upon, scorned, and yet beloved of God. Oh, how he comes into the temple, broken, contrite, humble, penitent, oh, seeking God's mercy. Felt the guilt so much, he could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast. Oh, my wicked, wicked heart. But how he cried out from the depths of his heart, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And that man went down to his house justified. Justified by faith. Unto you it is given to know. That without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. I believe the Holy Spirit will make every child of God a diligent seeker, to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is near. And I do trust we have some diligent seekers here tonight. Oh, it concerns your soul's salvation. It concerns eternity. It concerns heaven and hell. Oh, it concerns God's mercy or God's wrath. Oh, to seek the Lord. Oh, to seek the mercy of God through the finished work of the Lord Jesus, that open door of God's mercy. But to be found a diligent seeker, not a half-hearted seeker, not a Sunday-only seeker, but continue every day, every night, throughout the week, or in seeking the Lord, that haply you might find him and know him. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Prayer. Oh, what a wonderful mystery of the kingdom of God. Unto you it is given to know that spirit of prayer. Again, Saul of Tarsus, a Pharisee, thought he was doing God's service. And perhaps as a Pharisee said his prayers, perhaps in the temple, perhaps in the synagogues, perhaps in the street corners, to be seen of men, to be heard of men, to be honoured by men, to be looked up to by men, to be respected by men. But he never prayed unto God. It's a great burden with many a child of God. I often say my prayers, but do I really pray? Do the wishes of my heart go with the things I say? Or when we come before the Lord in prayer, do we desire to know what real prayer is? Do we feel the need of the Holy Spirit to indite real prayer? Would we know that prayer of importunity? Or would we know that real cry from the heart, that real felt need? Oh, to truly pray. Well, how many prayerless prayers that Saul of Tarsus may have prayed, we must leave. But there in Damascus, in that house, spoken unto Ananias, he had that witness from heaven, for behold, he prayeth. I've often pondered this. Many of the Lord's people, not all, but many of the Lord's people cannot pinpoint the time of their conversion, the time that they were born again. But it may be they can remember the time that they first prayed. I would imagine many here from your youngest days, taught by your loving parents to, as it were, say your prayers, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, suffer me to come to thee. I remember that when I was young. But I trust I still remember the time when I first really prayed it. Or when the wishes of my heart went with the words that I said. Is it so with you? Or can you remember the time that you first really prayed? Or when there was that cry from your heart. It may not have been spiritual. It may have been providential. You may have come into trouble. You may have come into difficulty. You may have had that great matter come upon you. And you tried to pray unto God. That communion with the Lord in prayer. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, what real prayer is, for behold, he prayeth. Oh, to know. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. a poor, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinner, to obtain the mercy of God, the pardon and forgiveness of sin, salvation by grace, yes, through faith, all the wonderful mercy of God. If you think of it, if there were no sinners, there would be no need for mercy. But there are sinners, and oh, sensible sinners, as Joseph Harp penned in his hymn, sensible sinners unto you, all they know their need to obtain God's mercy. And not just at the first, but throughout their lives, without thy sweet mercy, I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. But oh, that wonderful theme of the mercy of God, to obtain God's mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, that one thing is needful. One thing is needful. Yes, throughout life we have many needs. And I dare say there are those here tonight who have many needs, and that wonderful promise in the Philippians, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, a wonderful promise to plead. But really, when we come down to die, all those lesser needs won't be needs at all. All the things throughout our lives which were important at the time and we stood in need of, when we come down to die, we won't have that need. Indeed, oh, upon a dying bed with eternity yet before us, one thing is needful. And the Lord works in the hearts of his people to prepare them. Yes, there was one dying thief, but only one that none might presume, but one that none might despair. Oh, may I warn you most solemnly, don't wait until your dying day before you seek the mercy of God. Your dying day may come quicker than you think. With some, short is a warning. With others, there is no warning, and we do not know the day of our death. But all to be prepared, that one thing is needful. Just one thing. When we come down to die, nothing else matters. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? Eternity is a reality. Or we believe in eternity. We cannot understand or comprehend eternity past nor eternity to come. But it is a truth, and the Bible states it. It is a truth. Let man say what he will. Man would rather believe in a lie of annihilation or everyone going to a paradise or whatever. But may we be taught of God and taught through his word and taught the truth. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, to know that work of grace within, to know that spirit of prayer. Oh, to know the Lord Jesus, to know him, all through the gospel, those glad tidings of great joy, a Saviour, Christ the Lord, none other name given us under heaven whereby we must be saved, but Christ Jesus the Lord. The Jews, generally speaking, are still in denial that Jesus is the Messiah. And to the Greeks, we might say the world general, foolishness. You don't believe that, do you? We hear it said from time to time. Well, a great mercy if we do believe. Oh, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, to know the Lord Jesus, not to know about him, but to know him, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Shepherd, my Friend, my all in all. This is my Beloved, and this is my Friend. To know that my Beloved is mine, and I am His. To know my sins forgiven, that Christ has atoned for my sins, to know that Jesus has died for me. Not to think, not to assume, but all to know. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To know that we walk by faith and not by sight. I always, as it were, preach to myself those words of the Lord Jesus, very, very solemn. He speaks that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He speaks of that widow woman and the unjust judge. I'm sure we all know the account. And it was by her continual coming that for all the wrong reasons the unjust judge relieved her of her adversary. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? A mercy to have a little faith. And all of us, if we have faith, will always have need to pray that prayer, Lord, increase our faith. Oh, at times we may perhaps feel like those disciples when Jesus said unto them, where is your faith? Where is your faith? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But oh, how we need faith. To walk by faith and not by sight. And what is it to walk by faith? Looking unto Jesus. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, looking unto Jesus, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. To behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none other. By faith, to believe. And remember throughout the Gospels, all of those characters who came to the Lord Jesus came by faith. The Syrophoenician, great is thy faith. That wonderful faith given to the centurion. Lord, speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Oh, may the Lord bless us each with that true, that living faith. To believe in the Lord Jesus, to believe in the Word of God, and to walk by faith and not by sight, to trust in God at all times, in all places, under every situation. Unto you it is given to know. Oh, when we have Jacob crying out, all these things are against me. When we have Naomi crying out, the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. When we have, I think it's Jeremiah, stand to be corrected, crying out, I am full of confusion. Or when the hand of the Lord seems to have gone out and things seem to be so wrong, still to trust in God. And to know, to prove, and we know, that all things work together for good. To them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We may struggle to know this. But how we need the Lord's teaching, how we need that grace given to us to know that all things work together for good, for all things are of God. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You see, that separating grace, it rather struck me, that's why we're down to verse 40, that Gadarene, that madman all that legion full of devils, and they couldn't control him. They would bind him with chains and fetters. He broke them. He was driven of the devil into the wilderness. What an awful state he was in. Unto you. Oh, the Lord Jesus really came over that lake to preach a gospel to one. God's discriminating grace unto you. That one man, just like Mary Magdalene and those others of whom the devils were cast out, unto you is this grace given. Oh, unto you, this dear man. There's two things here. First of all, concerning himself. For a long time it perplexed me. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away. And I wonder why. Why couldn't he be one of the disciples who would follow the Lord Jesus? Why did the Lord Jesus send him away? He desired to be with him. It didn't quite seem right. Well, I trust the mystery was made known unto me. How many a child of God, perhaps at their time of conversion or brought into gospel liberty and that term of first love, or that they might be with him. Some of the Lord's dear people at such a time have longed to be taken straight to glory, straight to heaven, to be with him. All their love was so strong. Nothing upon the world could keep them here. Oh, to be with him. But Jesus sent him away lovingly, kindly. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and proclaimed and preached what great things Jesus had done unto him. And who could deny what had happened to him? Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But then to others. And I find this account of the gatherings of people here, the Gergesenes also, very, very solemn. They came as a people, they were in great fear, and they had one desire. And they sought for Jesus to depart from them. To depart from them. They didn't want the Lord Jesus. This morning we're trying to speak of the presence of God. They didn't want the presence of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus. You see, they wanted the things of this world. They wanted their riches and pleasures. They wanted their own things. They didn't like the things of the gospel, the things of the kingdom of God. They rejected the Lord Jesus and to others. But to others. Well, again, this parable of a sower. And I trust even in this modern day in which we live, we still understand the basic principles of the sowing. Of course, in biblical times, it would have been broadcast a sower with a bag of seed going forth and with his hand scattering the seed in humble hope that the majority, at the very least, would enter into the ground he had prepared. But as it is even today, so we have the wayside, the path where it's trodden down, upon a rock, perhaps upon stones and the like, though there may be some growth because it has no root, it withers away, and the thorns we all know about, and I'm sure perhaps some of us have seen such thorns which have so entangled a plant that the plant could not really survive. The good ground. That which has been ploughed up, that which has been farrowed, that which has been prepared, all that brought forth fruit. Now we understand that. Now it may be that we even understand in our heads the interpretation. The seed is the word of God. We understand that. We understand solemnly how the devil can come and take away the word out of the heart, and how active Satan is in this. We may even understand concerning the rock. There are those who receive the word and for a time endure with joy. But because they have no root, in a time of temptation, persecution, opposition, they fall away, they turn back. We may understand also concerning the forms of those who make a profession of religion, and yet in time they become so taken up with the cares of this life and riches and the pleasures, and they bring forth no fruit. Now, here in verse 14, it came to me, I hadn't seen it in this way before, very, very solemn. With the fowls of the air, the seed, there was no plant at all. It never even grew. Nothing. Taken away. And then you have a rock, there was a plant, and it grew. But because it had no root, it didn't survive, and it withered, and it died. And that was the end of that one. But amongst the thorns, it would appear that this plant, naturally speaking, as it may be interpreted, it survived, if you will, through its life. But it never brought forth any fruit, here to perfection. It may have begun to bring forth fruit, you know, those tiny fruits coming from the flowers. But not all fruits we know come to perfection. Some are diseased, some fall off. And what I see here, a professing Christian, and yet so choked, taken up with the cares of his life, riches and the pleasures of sin, this world, may continue all their days professing Christianity, but they bring forth no fruit. No fruit. Or doesn't the Lord Jesus there speak in John 15, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. It might speak in eternity. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me. Oh, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Unto you it is given to know that union, that communion. Without me ye can do nothing. Or it is given to know that dependence upon God, given to know that abiding in him and he in us. Unto you it is given to know, oh, that need of grace, that need of more grace, that need of the Spirit's work, that need of the gift of the Holy Ghost, that need of the teaching of God, or that need of chastening, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, he purgeth, that cutting back. Unto you it is given to know that God dealeth with you as with sons. Yes, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruits of righteousness unto them exercised therewith. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Well, we may know the interpretation of a parable in our heads, but do we know anything of it in our hearts? Oh, does it grieve us at times when it seems Satan comes and takes a word out of our hearts? Oh, does it grieve us when we wonder if we are really rooted and built up in him? Oh, does it grieve us when perhaps we also feel to be choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, taken up in the things of this life? And I know, I'm sure many here are so busy, so many responsibilities and duties in the home, in the workplace, and we're so full of things. And you know, these things can choke, aren't they, the word of God, and it's such a grief to the child of God. But this the child of God would do, desires to do, longs to do, is to bring forth fruit. It also came to me in this way, man by nature is so proud. And we think of a farmer, a fruit farmer, having an orchard, he has a good crop, and well, he might be proud because he has done so well. And the Lord knows the pride in the hearts of his people. And he knows that should they, as it were, appear to have so much fruit to glory in the flesh, they would become proud. And the Lord knows how to keep his people humble. And I'm sure that many of those fruits borne by the people of God perhaps are hidden from themselves and hidden from others, or that God might have the glory. It's bringing forth fruit to perfection, those fruits of righteousness, those fruits of the Spirit. Yes, by their fruits you shall know them. I find it a very searching word. Oh, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, well, with them numbered may I be now and in eternity, as any teacher knows that need to make the class teachable. It must be very, very difficult and trying to have a child, a scholar, who just doesn't want to learn, not interested, taken up in other things. Well, the Lord will make his people teachable. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, taught by the Holy Spirit, taught the truth, and they all will be found sitting at the feet of Jesus. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. They sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy word. For my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand.
God willing, Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening. There'll be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening at 8 o'clock. And Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach next Lord's Day and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. And he also hopes to address the Sunday school. And the collections today are for Barnabas Fund towards support for those in Myanmar. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed, no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
And now, may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.